I think there's lyrics to the song, but like I don't know the exact lyrics
because Butterface, Cadet. I don't know them either.
See, I was banking on you to know the lyrics right here.
Yeah, no, I don't know the lyrics, unfortunately.
It's too bad. Cause who is it? 21 Savage, Metro Boomin. A lot of good lads. A lot of good lads in that group right there.
You know what? Now that you're putting me on the spot, I actually don't know who's in the song. I don't. Oh, it's Metro Boomin's song.
Gosh, yeah. You know, you picked the song tonight. You picked the song. I thought you had it. You know, you called for the pass. You called for it, and you dropped the touchdown.
You know what? Sometimes that happens. Sometimes Odell Beckham gets traded. That happens.
Oh, you see, I knew you're upset about that. You know what? It's not important tonight. But I'm glad you're here. Speaking of you being here, we also have somebody else here tonight.
We do. We got a special guest in the house.
Oh yes, we do. Joe Van, we tell a little bit of a special guest. Someone quite significant.
Someone who needs no introduction, really.
Oh, absolutely.
Sydney Patterson is in the house. We're going to be interviewing her later. She has done some pretty awesome things.
Oh, yes, indeed. Just to name a few. Don't get too worried. So we have here, talking about 2016-2017 Team Rookie of the Year, 2017-2018 Team MVP, and we're talking about an Athlete of the Week four times, including this past day, today, actually. Yeah. Talking December 3rd, January 14th, February 4th, and, of course, March 11th. Athlete of the Week. So, you know, pretty accomplished.
That's pretty accomplished. You know how many Athletes of the Week Kiefer and I have combined? A whopping zero. So she has infinitely more Athletes of the Week than us.
Oh, my God. You always bring up the Athletes of the Week between us, man. I always just feel so bummed out now. It just kills
my vibe. Listen, awards aren't everything. It's about how you feel on the inside.
Well, you know, my gosh. Anyways, not about us. It is not about us.
It is about the athletes.
Absolutely. And truly a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, Sydney.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. So, Sydney, why don't you just start off a little bit, just tell the audience a little bit about yourself, you know, where you're from, what program you're in, you know, what made you want to come to Laurier in the first place?
So I'm from Rockwood, Ontario, very small town near Guelph. I'm in my third year of kinesiology and physical education, and I came to Laurier actually not to run. I came for the program. I really wanted to be close to home, and the kin program is really great here, so I definitely came for that. And, yeah, I know Kitchener really well already, so that helped.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Out of curiosity, were you, like, being recruited for other schools with, like track and field and stuff like that? Like, were you kind of, like, keeping that in the back of your mind when you're kind of choosing the schools? Or?
So, yeah, I wasn't actually, like, recruited, but I'd met with a bunch of coaches and talked to some schools about it. But then, ultimately, I was like, program comes first. Running shouldn't come first as much as I wanted it to. So I picked for the program and the school. I really like the small community feel.
Did you ever think, you know, I mean, I know for me, Kiefer, for you, you never really thought, hey, you know, it's like a back of the mind, hey, I could run or I could play sports in university, but did you think you'd be doing it this well, this early?
To be honest, I didn't even think I'd make the team. Apparently, like, it's not hard to make our team, but that was a big concern. I was like, I can't pick a school that has a high-level team because I'm not going to make that. Mm. But then here we are.
So it turns out you're actually just a little too hard on yourself.
Yeah.
Because you were representing Laurier on the national level.
Yeah, that I thought maybe by my fifth year, that could be a goal. and then it happened third year, so.
Well, now that's just happened third year, you're thinking, like, what's the goal now at this point going forward for yourself?
So now it'll be, instead of hoping to go, it'll be expecting to go and training to go, but improving upon my performance. It was a big eye-opener actually racing there and seeing the difference between a national level race and a normal competition. So now I can go in that ready and knowing what to expect.
Okay. I just want to ask a quick question. What was, you know, anytime you get to these massive events, like the national kind of games, national tournaments, national meets, like what's it like that first feeling when you get there and you walk in there and you're like, I'm an athlete participating here.
Yeah, it was crazy. I walked in and I was at the stands, which are right on top. You could see the whole track. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of looked around like, wow, this is it. In track and field meets, lots of people don't really cheer for the distance events. They're like, oh, we'll clap for 10 seconds and then that's about it. Mm-hmm. But at this meet, it was the whole way around, every single lap.
They were
screaming. It lasted the whole like 4 minutes or whatever the race was.
That's awesome.
Even for the longer distances, too, like the whole race, everywhere you go on the track, someone's yelling.
Oh, like I know for sure. In high school, it was totally the okay, the distance events are on, time to go get some lunch. Yeah. Maybe tune in for the end of the races, but I'm not watching them do 4, 5, 6, 7 laps. I'm not watching that. So that's awesome to hear that it's like it was that atmosphere and that like pumped the whole time.
You know, actually speaking about that atmosphere, I had a question about one of your meets actually. So you actually did a meet, Spear 1 Division 1 Classic, and that was actually in the USA against NCAA athletes. Talk a little about that like, what was that atmosphere like, you know, going across the border, going against NCAA athletes? Kind of like, what was that atmosphere like for you in that experience?
That was really exciting. Their tracks are also different down there. So this was a 300-meter track, and we're used to racing on 200-meter indoor tracks. Mm. So just by that, it was a completely different feel. It's known as a really fast track. Really high-level athletes, and it was a meet where people wanted to go fast. The day wasn't about, like, placing. It was a day to get a fast time, enjoy the whole experience of it, and I really did. We were very excited to be there. It was actually a high school.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Spires is an huge budgets. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Huge budgets.
I walked in, I'm like, if this is their high school, what are their universities like?
Oh, my God. No, I could only imagine. And just, like, you know, and you said yourself, like, just that atmosphere and just having, like, the different track and stuff like that must have been really, really quite the experience as a whole. But, like, would you say, like, just that meet in particular, you know, as, again, competing against NCAA athletes, pardon me, would you say you kind of took anything away from that as opposed to taking away from, like, your different meets? Or did you kind of just approach that, like, this is just another meet, you know, just another day, got to go out and compete?
Well, there were a lot of Canadians actually at the meet, so that kind of made the feel a bit less, but it was super exciting. I like that a lot of my teammates got to come with me too. Mm-hmm. We got to try events that, so I'm focused mainly on the 1500, but at that meet I did the 1K and huge personal best in it because of the atmosphere, I think. I think that helped a lot, especially because normally every lap I know what numbers should be yelled out to me, but since the lap sizes were different, I had no idea what they meant by what times I was running. So I was just kind of running for me, and that was a really cool experience. Just to be in a place where I'm running for myself. I don't know what time I'm at, but I'm just going to keep pushing until the end.
Yeah.
Actually, if I may, just kind of touch about that aspect right there, the running. I've always been curious, like, what is your mentality like when you are running? You know, what kind of like, what are you thinking, you know, as you take each step going forward, as you take, you know, a step closer to that kilometer distance, you know, what's going through your mind?
So I really try not to think. If you're thinking, you're getting distracted and you're probably slowing down. But usually it's just, okay, the girls in front of you, they're going to make a move. Make sure you go with them. Don't let any gaps form, because if you let one, then it's gone. Just kind of keeping one foot in the other. You're almost done. You're almost done. And then usually I forget what lap I'm on because it's just so hectic. So a good way that an old coach told me to like keep in mind is just keep counting to 7 over and over again, and just so it gives your mind like one place to focus on, so you don't let your mind wander because you don't want to be thinking.
Is it a real thing to have a runner's high, if you will? Like, do you ever like find yourself getting that?
You've never ran that much, eh?
I know.
You don't know that.
I know how to do that distance consecutively. I've just wondered. I've heard it's a thing.
You've
just
never been running to even get to that point, eh?
No, I've done some exercises that require a lot of running. Okay, I'm just.
It's a myth to him.
Hey, okay. I was curious from this side of the table. I played O-line, so, you know, it's a lot of, okay, you know what? Go ahead, joke then. I don't know about the runner's high then. I'm not curious anymore. I was just, you know, careful bystander wanted to know. But
All right. You know, I'm sorry. That was a valid question.
I thought it was, but it's okay.
So you talked about your in-race, your mentality. What's the mentality getting to the race or just, you know, right before the gun goes off?
So very nervous. I'm shaking a lot usually. If I'm not nervous though, I know I'm not ready. Mm-hmm. So I get excited by the nerves. My one teammate, she's really embracing me too, like, or telling me to embrace the nerves. Like, that means you're ready. That means you got this. And the big thing is telling yourself everyone else here is nervous too. It's not just you. And then getting on the start line, it's kind of, okay, focus on yourself. Like, everyone around you, they have their own problems, their own nerves. Like, you're running an individual sport. You need to be calm. You need to get your mindset, like, on yourself.
How do you find your pace? So, like, you know, like, I don't know. I don't run. I don't run distances. I do, like, if I was going to run, it'd be a short race. If there was a 40-yard sprint, I'd do it. But, like, how do you find that pace right out of the gate? Like, you know, that's the time I want to get to. Oh, that's a pop, 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 pop. Like, what do you do?
So that's a lot of what we do in practice. So in workouts, we'll be like, okay, today's workout is done all at 1,500-meter race pace or something like that. Like, we might have a workout that's just slower than 15 race pace or at 3K race pace, like something like that. Mm-hmm. So you just practice it, and then it gets in your head so much that when you're out on the track, you know what you're doing. The start of every race is always going to be very fast. And then it's just about controlling yourself after the first 100 meters. Be like, okay, you need to settle into an appropriate race pace. Generally, your coach will yell at you if it's too slow. Mm. Hopefully, they'll yell if it's too fast. And then it's just like deciding, okay, is this too fast or is this going to be a new personal best?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. And actually, if I can just kind of rewind a little bit. So I am just curious, you know, middle indoor distance running, you know, as Joth and I talked about, we have talked about it a lot in a sense that, you know, we're familiar with it, but, you know, track and field and kind of in that sense and how it began there. And then for it to evolve to middle indoor distance, such a specific, you know, focus, if you will. What was the point in your life that made you think to yourself that, like, this was something you wanted to pursue and this is something you wanted to focus on and excel at that?
Probably in high school, I'd always run the 1500 meter, but my times would never be that good. I thought I was really good. And then I met some people who were a lot faster than me and realized, oh, wow, I'm still above 5 minutes. And then I guess the day that I broke the 5 minute barrier for the 1500 meter was when I realized, you know what, this is actually something I could be good at. And from there, now I've taken another 30 seconds off of that. So it's just very exciting. This year I had a big breakthrough too. In cross country, I always just wanted the goal of like basically finishing the race because cross country is really long. Mm-hmm. But I broke 30 minutes for 8K this year. So that was a big, like, wow, like, you actually have some speed. This is something that you want to keep up.
Do you ever have, like, did you ever find yourself having, like, some idols that you, like, used to look up to when it came to, like, your cross-country running and your indoor, middle indoor distance running?
Yeah. Well, okay. My mom, she was a four-time Offsa medalist for her 4x4 relay team. So she obviously pushed me for running.
Wow.
And then I have a really great teammate named Bettina, and she really pushes me a lot too. She is very inspiring, and go for almost all my runs with her. So I think that really helps. But famous person-wise, I guess Melissa Bishop, she's the Canadian record holder for the 800 meters outdoors. She went to Rio Olympics, got fourth. And then because she got fourth and didn't medal, that's her only reason for going back in 2020 is she wants to reclaim her spot. And I think that's really inspiring.
2020, that's in Qatar, right?
I don't know.
Okay.
It's in Tokyo.
Oh,
it's
Tokyo? Something's in Qatar, isn't there? It's the World Cup.
That's anyways. Probably, yeah, I think that's FIFA.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just had to clarify that
for myself. So, yeah, hey, that's a cool story from her. Is that going to be your story come next year? For indoor middle distance when you're talking about the going back to the national championship?
Hope so. I definitely want to improve. Was not thrilled with how I placed mm-hmm. this weekend, but now I have the experience and I know what to do when I get on that start line. You have to be ready for anything. And I guess I wasn't as ready as I could have been, so I want to go back even more ready.
Yeah. This has been on my mind. You know, trash talking is a part of sports. It is huge. Any way that you can live in the opponent's head, just throw them off their game. If it means they're thinking too much now and now, you know, they get the yips, whatever it is. What kind of trash talk? Are you a trash talker?
No, I'm not actually. Runners are very nice people. We will cheer for each other.
That is the worst.
I know.
Oh, man.
But during a race, there are things you can do to really bother someone. We are actually allowed to elbow somebody.
You're allowed to elbow. Wow.
As long as nobody falls in the first, like, 100 meters, it's fine. So we call this thing, like, boxing somebody. If you trap them between you and some other people so that they're on the inside, like they can't get out to pass anybody and they're stuck. So that's kind of a way you can get at somebody because they're trapped doing whatever pace the people around them are. And they could, if they want to speed up, they might get stepped on or something like that.
Wow.
This is the dark side of
or even some people, you'll line up at the start line, and as soon as the gun goes up, elbows go up.
Wow. I didn't realize it was such a contact sport like this. That's insane. You get a little upper body now training along with the lower body training.
Oh, yeah.
to make sure you make a statement.
Walk
out there
away
too.
From your 1500 raise with some bruises. You're like, what happened? You get in a fight?
No, a lot of people get spiked. Like, you've probably seen our shoes.
Yeah.
Wow. Was there ever like an aggressive moment that came from that out of curiosity? Like, did things ever like just kind of boil over?
The most aggressive race I had this year was at York. And right off the start line, I started in about lane one, and I got pushed almost to lane five and almost off the track because of how like everybody wanted to just go right away. Mm-hmm. I didn't fall. I almost did, but...
Oh, that's huge. That's huge. Kept going.
Yeah.
Fundamental right there. So you talked about that right there. You know, a big, big moment at York. So, you know, a lot of athletes, they have what they call a career-defining moment. And, you know, for some, it could be a really low point where things were just, you know, going awful. You know, things just didn't go their way they wanted to go. You know, a shot didn't go in or this or that. Or you just, maybe you weren't placing in a race the way you wanted to. What would you say was your career-defining moment that really helped put you in the successful position that you are now in today?
Probably the U of T race we did a few weeks ago. Most of my 1500-meter races this year, I did win them, but it was more because there wasn't a ton of competition in the races, and it was more just me running on my own, pushing myself. So I was really looking for that race where there were girls faster than me that could really push me. And I had that race at Toronto, Western's top runner, who actually won she got silver at the 1500 meter at OUA's. She was in that race, and so that was very exciting. So I let her pace me. I followed really close behind. I ended up coming out with a huge personal best, which ended up ranking me eighth nationally. So that was probably the moment. Seeing that time, I almost cried. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe I ran that, but I did. And then that made me like very excited for what was to come.
No, that's fantastic. Yeah, I feel like that goes along that whole phrase, you know, like the hungry wolf, you know, will run faster than the wolf who's already been fed, you know, and just to kind of have that mentality right there to kind of go against somebody who's ranked higher than you and just to push yourself is really phenomenal to see, and how it came out with results like that was just unbelievable. Unbelievable. Now, you know, I have here just a list in front of me, just, you know, all your accomplishments, but I just got to ask you personally, you know, what would you say individually was your favorite accomplishment? You know, what's something you're most proud of that you've done in your career?
I think I'm most proud of the OUA bronze medal. That's the first for the program's history. And I definitely thank my team for that. That wasn't just an individual thing. They were cheering me on. They trained with me. Even the past 2 weeks up to nationals, everybody else could have taken their time off, but a lot of my teammates came out to practice and helped pace me, helped train me. And it's really a team sport, like in the background of it all. I might perform it individually, but that medal was like from my team, and that would have been my best moment, I think.
I'm going to just say this, Sydney. You can take a little bit of the credit here.
So humble.
You, you had a bronze medal. Some of that is on you now.
I know.
Some of that is on you. I get it. Your teammates helped train you, but, I mean, you're gifted now.
Not
a lot of people are getting these. No one's getting these medals from Laurier.
No.
No one's going from Laurier to go compete on the national stage. So you're doing this. So don't be so humble.
Yeah, I know. Be sure to definitely take in those moments, because, you know, they say yourself, university and high school can just fly by. And next thing you know, you're in the working world and you're just kind of going through your daily 9 to 5. Hopefully, you know, some people have different businesses and this and that. But it's so great to just enjoy those moments, you know, for what they are and the accomplishments as they are individually. It's really just something to bask in, if you will. You know, something also I'm curious about is I'm sure you must have a very vigorous training regime. And I'm very curious, like, what would your training regime be like, you know, versus in the season to, I guess, as you were telling us a little bit earlier, you have like a 10-day off season, if you will, till you're just right back at it. What's that training consist of for yourself?
So I run 6 days a week. I get one off day a week. If I miss it, I make sure to take it right away, but I usually want it or more. Mondays and Wednesdays, we do workouts on the track, or if it's cross-country season, we'll be out at a park nearby or something like that. So those would be pretty high volume workouts, and then like a nice easy warm up and cool down. Tuesdays and Fridays would be like casual, or and Saturdays would be casual off day runs. So this would be anywhere from 35 to 50 minutes, just a nice casual run, talk with your friends while you're running. I always take Thursdays my off day, and then Sunday's long run day. So that would be anywhere from 50 to like 50 minutes to about an hour and a half. I don't actually go that long, but and wow. Yeah, I haven't made it that long yet, but something like that. But long run days are more about nice and slow, and they're about recovery more than anything. The only hard days would be the Monday and Wednesday.
Do you ever like, is there ever like a place in the world that if you could go anywhere that you would just love to just run at, you know, like the Great Wall of China or something like that, for example? Like, is there any specific place in the world you'd love to just be at to run?
Ooh, I haven't really thought about that. I've always wanted to go to Sydney, Australia, maybe because of the name, maybe not. So it'd be cool to run there, I guess.
Is that what you're named after?
No.
Oh, you know, that'd been cool.
It would have been.
Oh, yeah, it'd be quite the experience.
I think it's off some like soap opera character.
Oh. Oh, those are always fun.
Yeah.
Those are always fun.
So, I mean, you're running a lot.
Yeah.
You're literally constantly running. Like, I go to the gym for one day and my joints are done. My legs are done. Like, how are you continually running for 6 days?
Well, it hurts. yeah, that's why it's nice to have physio and ice baths and lots of rolling, lots of stretching. I should probably do more of both of those. But yeah, it's just about making sure you fuel your body right. So don't skip the protein. I ate a lot of carbs. Yeah, just making sure you take care of yourself, being very careful. Like if you feel any sort of pain, you stop because you don't want to risk injury because that comes a lot with our sport.
So. It really does because, I mean, when you're doing anything track and field type related, you tweak a little something and all of a sudden everything's off.
Yeah.
It's like you're more of like a fine-tuned athlete than you are just muscle through the pain.
Yeah.
So it's really about honestly making sure you're recovered and ready to go. And it really would be important, especially considering you're saying you have another season coming up?
Yeah, outdoor track.
So when does that start and then what does that look like for you?
So we start training again on March 25th, and then I'm coming back a bit slower since my season for indoors went a bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just do easy track workouts for a few months, and then the end of May and all through June would be our biggest competition season. You just enter meets whenever they seem fit. Most are on, like, evenings. They're kind of like sunset night races, which are pretty cool. And I'd only race like once a week, once every other week. It's not too intense.
Just kind of keeps you in form.
Yeah.
Just keeps you going.
And then recover by August and start cross country.
I'm just curious. You have just so much going on, just so much cross country. You got middle indoor distance. Like, what you ever thought about like what life would be like if it, you know, once you're done?
It'd be really weird. Like right now, having my week off running, I am enjoying it because my body needs a break.
No, I can imagine.
But it's cool. I have more free time to do things. But you also get very like antsy. Like I can't sit still for too long. I want to go work out. I want
to
go run.
You're like, I need to be doing something. My body is supposed to be moving.
Exactly. It's definitely nice to have time off. But I also really value like healthy living and active lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah.
Now, is there anything you want to anywhere you want to take running in the future?
I mean, I want to take it as far as I can.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely don't want to do marathons ever. That seems like too much pain. But I think like running in half marathons or if I could compete like this at this kind of level for a long time, that'd be really exciting.
So, I mean, I personally don't really know like what kind of like a pro type or anything system looks like for running. So what would that even look like?
So a lot of runners so the main season is in your early 20s, late 20s, mm-hmm. So it would be soon. Usually you get a sponsorship deal if you're good enough, and then there's these thing called Diamond League races. So those they're like little world championships all over the place. You go to those, and then there would be the world championships and potentially like Olympic trials, stuff like
that. Jeez. So is that somewhere in your future you're hoping or?
I haven't really thought about it.
Not thought about it?
No. It would be really exciting, mm-hmm. but definitely not at that level yet.
Yeah, no, hey. I mean, it's definitely a slow process to get there. But you have to be all in when you are,
mm-hmm.
if you want to do that. So and that's something you got to think about. Don't want to put you on the spot to be like,
oh,
she's thinking about
nationals. No. And we're thinking Olympics.
shoot for the stars, of course, right? Yeah. You know, always aim for the highest moment possible. So that would be something amazing to see, though. Olympics,
yeah,
you know, just keep
be.
Progressing at that point in time.
Hey,
that
you never thought you were going to be at nationals.
Yes,
so.
That's true.
No, absolutely. So we're going to take a quick little break, and we'll be back with a little bit more later. Oh, three songs today. You know what? It's good to enjoy music for what it brings you as individuals, as collectives, and as society as a whole.
And we're not going to pretend like there is no sports going on at Laurier at the moment.
No. And you know what? I think we should talk about a hot button issue, Jothan and Sydney. Sports. You know, how some sports are more popular than others. And granted, you know, some sports, you know, Jothan and I had this discussion many times about NCAA athletes and how we think NCAA athletes should be paid because they get TV coverage, et cetera, et cetera.
I don't think they should be paid.
I think they should.
But they are willing participants in a sport. They know they're doing it not professionally, so why should they get paid? But that's a hot button issue. See?
That is a hot button issue. You know what? I'm curious. I'm gonna play devil's advocate here. I believe NCAA athletes should be paid. Because look at what they do for the school as a whole. You know, for one, you're bringing in notoriety. You're bringing in networks, you know, like the ACC network, you know, the Big 12 and all that, CBS, Fox. You're getting these guys coming out here, bringing their cameras, come watch your players.
All right.
Why can't you get a few dollars for that? Why can't you get a few dollars for that, you know?
Okay, so vice versa. I went to watch McMaster versus Laval. On the weekend in Toronto, and they played basketball, the U Sports Championship, Final Eight. Why didn't they get paid? They got Sportsnet there. There were people who were making money off of that game. There were fans in attendance. There were also it was on TV on primetime television, right there at 7 o'clock on a Sunday evening. Why did they not get paid? I think for the exact same reason, because you are a U Sports athlete, but you didn't see a cent. You shouldn't get paid for it.
Okay, so here's my argument too with that.
Okay.
So I'm gonna raise you Sportsnet versus CBS and Fox.
Yeah, okay. they have bigger populations.
Bigger networks, bigger income, bigger revenue, right? So then the money you can distribute to the athletes will be substantially less at that point. That is it almost even worth it? Because like you're getting maybe 10, 20 bucks
on the revenue. I understand.
As opposed to an athlete in the States where the revenue would be substantially higher. Considering how much more income that they get for the networks and how much more, you know, generate and popularity they generate.
I do agree there's more money in those sports, but I don't necessarily mean it should go to the athletes. I think honestly the important thing is that it doesn't matter where you are. For example, Sydney Patterson here, she puts just as much time and effort into her craft as other athletes around the country and athletes south of the border. That doesn't mean she puts in less work. It just means they have more money pooling into it. So it's not an indictment on where you are or you as an athlete. It's just more of they had a fan base for it. That's different. It doesn't necessarily mean you should pay them.
Now, at the same time, I think a level of success should be measured in terms of the amount of income and amount of like money that a program has to play with, if you will. And let it be known. Let it be known that some programs have a lot more money to play with than other programs solely based off, name-based value and the fact that they can generate more fans at the time, but they may not be as successful.
Yeah.
You know, some programs can have a championship run a couple years ago and then, not even make playoffs 2 years later. And then other programs can have send athletes, to different provinces and just not get the same amount of funding. And, is that fair? I don't know.
I mean, at the end of the day, there's only so much money that can go around.
There is, but again, think about the athlete disparity. One program has so many more athletes compared to one that doesn't have as many. Shouldn't they get at least some type of income there?
Yeah, I get that. It's tough. I mean, you're a university. You got to pay all kinds of programs, all kinds of facilities, all kinds of staff. So it can be difficult, when you think about what you're able to afford for certain sports. So it really comes down to it. Now, middle distance is one of those sports. Doesn't necessarily get the same amount of funding as, let's say, the football team who receives the most funding out of every sport I hear at Laurier. Like, what does that feel like for you, Sydney, when you're the one that's running and you're like, you see where the scraping is, like things are being scraped by, right?
Yeah, it's pretty frustrating. I mean, like, I know that we don't have the biggest team, so they don't want to really put money into our program. But at the same time, I don't know how we're expected to grow a program if we don't have anything to offer.
Yeah.
Like those NCAA teams in the state, they can actually offer the players money to play for them or to run for them or whatever, whereas we can't actually do that.
Mm-hmm.
And even if we did, I don't know if we could sustain it over the years, and we don't have anything to compare it to. So we can't build a team if we don't have money, but we can't, like, I don't know, show off a team if we don't have money.
It's hard to get recruits if you can't really be like, hey, look at our awesome track facility, or look at our awesome physiotherapy room that we have specifically for track. So this is why we should attract. Weston's a team that actually does some really well with recruiting.
Yeah.
So it can be frustrating when you look around, even around the province, and you're seeing other teams that are able to get, kind of more recruiting through it. And let that be known that football, even here at Laurier, Laurier is a small school. So it's not necessarily like we have the same funds as a team like Laval, who apparently has money to go everywhere.
My God.
Because even by their standards, you know, somewhere like Laurier is just a little school who can't afford much. But, I mean, that's not a lot saying from somebody who was a member of the football team and seeing what it's like when you do still have the biggest budget. It's very different when you're sitting there and you're like, okay, but we got to go to, you know, nationals. And you're kind of like, how are we getting our flight there?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the one thing. They don't mind paying for U Sports, but it's hard to make it there if you don't have the proper meets that get you there. Like, for instance, a good way to make nationals is by running a mile in the States, and then it can give you a good conversion time. It's really complicated, but that's a thing. And we don't go to any meets in the States other than that one Ohio meet, which didn't have a mile, whereas all the other schools mostly everybody who was in the 1500 race that I did got their time because they went to the States, ran a mile. Whereas we don't have the funds to do something like that. So we actually have to run a lot harder at the small meets we have, which is a lot more individual and hard to do when you don't have the right people there to push you.
Which, I mean, if you want to get there, you gotta do the things that get you there.
Yeah.
That's really what it is. Where are these kind of meets? Kind of like, are they just...
So Buffalo is a big one this year, but for us, the ones we stay in Ontario would just be like York, Western, Windsor. They're very small meets, but I don't know. The meets in the States are huge. They could be in really small areas like Michigan, like not the big Michigan school like the other one. And Ohio has a few more. It's just stuff like that.
That's awesome, though. Even getting to go down, see the facilities, because you're even at Spire, which is a high school.
Yeah.
Little known fact, LaMelo Ball is there. That's where he is.
Big baller brand, man.
That's a hot topic. But, you know, you get to see, even out of high school, you know, where the facilities they have and all of that kind of stuff. And then you kind of come back and you're like, oh, okay, we're scraping by. Like, where do you guys practice? Because, well, especially indoor, right? Because Laurier doesn't have an indoor facility.
No, we don't. So we actually practice at the rec center, which is down the road. It's about a 2K run away. Sorry, I know distance is by running. It's a track around an ice rink, and we have to share it with the public. So a lot of like elderly people or women in strollers are often on the track, and we try and keep them in the walking lanes, and we stay in the one outer lane. But when you have a team running really, really fast, it's hard to coordinate all that.
That would be incredibly hard. And I mean, I don't really know what track practice is like, or you're in your middle 1500. Like, what kind of coaching is there? Like, I know for football or something like that, it's like you really do need the whole field. You need the entire environment to be able to, you know, do different drills or whatever it is to get, like, what is that like when you have to share the facility?
Well, it would be a lot harder if we were a full track team, but even still with just middle distance, we have people running 600 meters and we have people running 3,000 meters. So those two groups would not do the same workout.
Mm-hmm.
So they'd be in different spots on the track at the same time. And when we only have one lane to work with, it can be very frustrating because two groups of people going two different types of speeds, stopping, going at different times, and trying to share one lane at a four on track.
It's very congested.
Very congested, especially on a small track. It's a half the size of the outdoor one that you've probably seen. So
yeah, it is not a big track there.
No.
It's awesome at least that there is somewhere close by that you can go. But unfortunately, you know, you're not even able to rent out the entire time.
Yeah, and we're going to try and change that next year, but we're seeing, like, budgeting and stuff like that, and if the rec center will allow us and what time would work. Mm-hmm. I know the University of Waterloo trains there, too, but they train late at night. We train at, like, 6 in the morning.
Okay.
The surface also sucks. It's a very thin layer of, like, the track material yeah. on cement. Yeah. So we aren't so allowed to really go too hard. Fast because yeah. it would hurt.
Isn't Waterloo is building their own indoor facility, aren't
it
they?
It does not have a track, though.
I think they were going to put one at the top or something. Like, nah? They're not?
I don't think so. And if they did, I don't think it would be the right material or anything like that.
It's a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, even if it was like, you know, you're going there and you're sharing it, exactly. that's a better atmosphere at least.
But no, word is Waterloo's still trained at the rec center for a while, so we'll be with them.
So it's not just you. It's not
yeah,
just you guys.
Exactly.
No. Now, Sydney, I was just curious about just your opinion on this kind of philosophy that I found a lot of sports and a lot of sports trying to grow themselves in bigger markets will kind of do. You know, sometimes sports, what they do is they'll take an athlete that's been very successful and kind of use that to kind of promote the school as a whole or just the program as a whole to kind of gain more notoriety, kind of gain more, you know, interest and, to, you know, first and foremost, gain more, you know, appreciation for what it is. You know, some examples I think of, you know, Stephen Curry, if you're familiar with that player, he's a basketball player. He's from a very small town basketball team. He was drafted, I believe it was pretty late, but it was a pretty small town basketball team, if I'm correct. And the name skips my mind this
Wait,
time.
Where he went to school?
Yeah, he went to
Davidson.
Davidson, yeah. Davidson, exactly. But that's not your traditional, you know, I don't know. You know, like a traditional basketball powerhouse, as in like a Duke.
It's not a basketball anything.
No, it's not. But, you know, people know that school now because of its association affiliation with a player like Steph Curry and what he was able to do for that program and for that school as a whole. And, you know, looking at it itself, as, you know, I aforementioned before, you have just an amazing resume here of just, you know, accomplishments, you know, things you've been able to do. You've set personal best, it seemingly year after year. You know, what is your opinion about, you know, becoming the face of middle indoor distance for Laurier and just becoming someone who middle indoor distance would kind of almost rally around in order to gain more, you know, the notoriety and you know, the appreciation that they properly deserve?
Yeah, I haven't actually thought about it that way before, but that's really exciting. It's already kind of happening. I know we're using my bronze and everything like that to get recruits to, like, notice us more. And kind of enhance the fact that even if our facilities aren't great, our training is, our coaching's good. But yeah, I'd be honored. I would love to be the face. I feel like I could do a good job with that. Yeah.
No, absolutely too. Because, you know, it's just looking at it as a whole, you know, you're still in third year, so you'll be back for a fourth year, I mm-hmm. presume. And, you know, just to use that as an advocate, I could see it as being hugely beneficial for the program as a whole. You know, the success you've had, the ability to go to nationals, to be the first female Laurier athlete to represent there is just an accomplishment in its own sense. And, you know, a program could really use that to just elevate itself.
You know what you need? I'm going to be looking for next year to see in the AC, see one of your banners.
Oh, yeah?
That's what has to be there.
Or, you know, picture you crossing your arms.
On the door.
Walking or
on the door.
Like that.
I took our picture last year, but we got to share a page with three other teams in
not
the calendar.
Not good enough. Not good enough. Yeah. Not good enough. We don't want you on the calendar. We know you're good enough to get on the calendar.
You know what March is saying.
We need you on one of either the posters in the gym there, in the athletic complex, or on the doors, or one of that.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. I mean, we're not even on the bus or in that front entrance of the AC, so.
that's the place you got to get.
We joked about hanging our picture there one time and just seeing if somebody took it down.
We're like, hey, we're here too.
Yeah, you can reach it from above the treadmills. We might as well try it.
No, absolutely. Should try it. Absolutely too. But, you know, and in all seriousness, though, you know, to have these accomplishments, it should be rewarded and it should be celebrated. And, you know, again, I want to advocate for it. I want to push for the fact that, you know, you deserve to have your place on the podium with everybody else. You know, it should never be said that one sport is not as important as another sport as, you know.
Every athlete trains just as hard.
Exactly. And every athlete deserves the same amount of respect mm-hmm. as somebody else. So for sure looking forward to that in the future. So, Sydney, you know, we want to make sure we thank you so much for coming on board today. it truly was a pleasure and honor to have you here. You know, it was great talking to you. You know, learning a little bit more about middle indoor distance. You know, kind of getting a real inside scoop about really what happens with the runs.
Learning about your little pre-rituals.
No, it's yeah. And you know, I guess the runner's high. I'll never know the answer to that question.
But at least you now know that running is a physical sport. It is. It gets down and dirty. That's the way I'm going to phrase that, and that's how I'm going to leave it. All yep. Right.
Well, yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, absolutely. Our pleasure. That about wraps it up for Hawkeyes this week. A little bit early one, but that's okay. You know, go out and enjoy the Tuesday night. And we will see you guys next week. Little quick ad for upcoming weeks, a little thing that Joe and I are going to be doing. If you guys have any questions for our athletes coming up, we want to advocate for you guys. You know, go out on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, hit us up. We have our next athlete we will be interviewing will be Ali So from the men's basketball team. So
I don't know if you've heard of him.
Yeah, he's just another guy in the street.
Small town guy.
Thought we could get him in here real quick, just have a quick chat. But if there's any questions you guys would like to ask him, you know, email us, pardon me, DM us, whatever you want to do to get through to us. We will ask him those questions and let you guys be heard. So thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll catch you guys next week. Thank you.